Well, Father, I don't know what you want to do, but you do. So we just give you full and total and complete control here right now. Holy Spirit, you come and you do whatever it is that the Father's telling you to do. Angelic host, you go to and fro throughout these chairs and you do what God's telling you to do. And Father, we just thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for all that you have done for us. And Father, this day, let us leave the sanctuary changed into the image of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I know that we don't save the clothes that you wear on your back. And I'm not preaching on clothes. God just said to me, he said, when my people are truly changed, they'll change the way they dress. So that's why I'm saying this. You know, if you're still wanting to wear the same clothes that the world wears, then you aren't really sold out to God. There's a part of you that wants to flash your body or whatever, you know, for the world to see. And that's not going to take, and he said that, but I said, then he said the others, but I said that. And he's talking about total commitment today. And if you're totally committed to God, you'll be totally committed to him from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. You'll change the way you dress and everything else. All right. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. It says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. And Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Let's just stop there for a second. I was watching Chris Tomlin in that one song, and I thought, whenever he came out on the scene, drugs were on his head, started coming out on the scene. And what it came to me was that God that was using him, did you notice the young people were at his concerts? God was using him to draw the younger generation to Christ and away from the drugs. But as you stop and think about it, did it really do that? Because look at the drug epidemic. It's from old to young or young to old, however you want to look at it. We have to understand that we need to walk in holiness and purity of heart. And we need to be example to all those around about us. And God is once again calling a new generation to the forefront. You know, like you guys have the younger kids now, that God's dealing with them now because he doesn't want them to be caught up into the drug scene and everything else that's going, all the perversion. Because God is going to use this generation that's growing up right now and do a mighty works for him. So, you know, what you need to do, guys, is you need to really make sure that your children are brought up in the ways of the Lord. And you really need to keep them covered with the blood of Jesus. And you need to make sure that you are constantly in control with what's going on over their lives. The word says, train your child up in the way they should go, and they should never depart from it. There is a time and a season where you have to train your children. And there's a time they're going to say, nope. I'm going to do my thing, my way. And then you can't do anything about that. But God is calling you to train them up until that season occurs. Not why I got on that, but there it is. Somebody needs to hear that, right? All right, let's see what God has to say. God said, it takes total commitment to serve me. I cannot use a half-hearted, committed servant. It is either all or nothing. It is either in or out. Now, God's been... Brother Chris is putting together a book for me, and he was preaching about commitment a couple years ago. And this is all he's doing right now is telling me to teach about commitment, because we need to understand we are not totally committed to God. Unless we're totally committed to God, we're not in, we're out. Now, God said, my son gave you his all on that cross. He committed himself to each of you totally and completely. He held nothing back. He suffered, hung, and he died. It was all for each one of you. Jesus gave his all. you are required to give your all. He told me early on, he said, I don't want 99.9% of you. I want 100% or nothing at all. And too many people are trying to give God 30% and keep 70%. And it's not going to work. See, with me, he said, I don't want 99.9. I would just keep 1%, but he wanted that 1% too. He wants you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And if you can't commit to that, then you might as well stop. I'm not telling you not to follow in God. I'm not speaking anything negative. I'm telling you the truth. And I'm speaking something very positive into your life. Jesus, God went on to say, the reason my son can have intimacy with his children is because he first had commitment with them. You cannot have intimacy with me without commitment. That is why the body of Christ cannot have true relationships. There is no commitment. So you see there, the reason why you can't be intimate with God is because you're not totally 100% committed to him. It's just like marriages. If you're not totally, completely 100% committed to that marriage, you won't ever have a good marriage because you won't be able to have true intimacy because you're not committed to that person. You're always looking around the corner to see what's around the corner. Right? It's true. All right, God said, why can you not come up into the third heaven and sup with me? No commitment first. He's been calling us to go into the third heaven, and we haven't been able to go there. Why? We're not committed, so we cannot go. Commitment to me is a daily calling. Each day I've asked you to take up your cross and follow me. What is the meaning of commitment? The state or quality of being dedicated to a cause, activity, or so on. Dedication, devotion, allegiance, a pledge, or undertaking. After praying, Solomon spoke this to the peoples in 1 Kings 8:61. Let your heart therefore be wholly true to the Lord our God, walking in his statutes and keeping his commandments as at this day. Let your heart therefore be wholly true to the Lord our God, walking in his statutes and keeping his commandments as at this day. Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. All right, the cost of discipleship. Let's look at that. Luke 14:25. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, you can't put anybody ahead of God. God has to come first. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? God is very, very serious about this commitment thing. He is not playing games. You have to give up everything of the world in order to be one of God's disciples. The body of Christ has been doing this far too long, preaching one thing and living another, pretending to be a light when they're really the darkness. And God has had enough of that, and God is saying, it's finished. God said, it will cost you absolutely everything to follow me. How many of you were excited when I called and you never sat down and counted the cost? I'm one. I'm quite sure many more of you in here can do that. Too many in my body are so used to just jumping into the boat and going along with the ride, never considering they might have to give up something to ride. Too many are still walking along, looking down, kicking the rocks as they go, when in reality they should be constantly looking up, counting the cost, and making the most important decision in their lives. Will I pay the price, or will I just stand this one out? And you can't stand any out. You have to, once you start paying the price, you have to continue to pay the price. Children, 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 I have called and I have wooed, but so many are still trying to decide if it's worth it. Let's look at what Paul said. Philippians 3, verse 7. Now, just really look at what Paul is saying. But whatever gain I had, I counted as lost for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Now, let's stop there. If you know anything about Paul, he had absolutely everything. He was rich and everything. He had stability. His name was known everywhere. And when God called him, he lost everything, and he spent most of his life in prison. That's where he wrote his letters, was in prison. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings. Some of you don't want to share sufferings. Becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Paul knew what true commitment was. And he gave his all for the gospel and finally died for me. This is what God is saying. His eyes were fixed on his assignment to win souls at any cost. His sufferings were but dung to him as he kept looking for the prize of the high calling in my son, Jesus. God said his eyes were fixed on his assignment to what? Win souls. You know, Jesus said that we would do the same works as he did, but greater works, and everybody's trying to figure out what that is, and last night I figured out what it was. We'll just win more souls than Jesus did because we can travel better than Jesus did. Jesus had to walk every place he went. Amen? Come on. That's what the greater works is. Now, all you're going to say, well, I guess I'll set this one out. It's all about souls. And we're going to win more souls than what Jesus did because he did not have the means to travel like we do on airplanes and boats and stuff like that. All right, how does Paul rejoice in the Lord? Paul rejoices in the Lord, and he rejoices in his people. He thanks God and prays with joy because of their gospel partnership, and he urges them to complete his joy. In Philippians, you can read that in Philippians 1, 3 through 5, and chapter 2, verse 2. And then in Philippians 4, 1, Paul calls, I thought this was neat. Paul calls these believers my joy and crown, whom I love and long for. That's what he thought about the people. I had to repent. I wanted to break your legs, remember? Let's see what Paul says. Paul says, they are my joy and crown, whom I love and long for. You got to change your mind, guys. You have to love these little heathens. No, I'm just joking. You really have to love the people of the world. And you have to put up with them until they get their act together. Because somebody put up with you, you got your act together. And we have to quit thinking they need to get right overnight. Preaching to myself. Do you get this? Come on, pastors. Do you get this? Your sheep are going to act about as dumb as they can act. But we'd be, have to be like Paul. He said, they are my joy and crown, whom I love and long for. If the body of Christ would get the same attitude as Paul did, we would see great salvations everywhere. And we ourselves wouldn't be so messed up, because we know that these people can't help what they're doing. And they don't know what we know. And therefore, we have to help them and teach them. Paul was just as sold out as Jesus was. He knew what his commission was, and he went after it with all that he had. That's not so with the body of Christ. I said Paul was just as sold out as Jesus was. He knew what his commission was, and he went after it with all that he had. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, this is Paul writing a letter, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. See, spiritual blessing. In the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. See that? Holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Paul just knew. I mean, you know, Paul was out there killing Christians, right? Then God smacked him on the road, right? Blinded him. And then God called him into the ministry. This man had a grasp on what God was about from day one, from the time he got smacked. And he stayed with that revelation knowledge. But the body of Christ does not do that. The body of Christ gets excited for one day, then they go off course. We have to stay on course, guys. You're not going to win anybody to Christ if you're wishy-washy. You have to be steadfast in your belief. You have to be steadfast in what God has called you forth to do so that you can win souls. They're already messed up, the souls are. They're already walking in confusion. They don't need a Christian saying, oh, you need to come and follow Christ while you're walking in confusion and doing all manner of evil. That's not godly. That's not what God's calling us to do. God said, my word tells you that you will, in Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when others revile you. What are you? You're blessed. When others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. How come we get all upset when somebody comes against us? Jesus said we are blessed. Rejoice, and Jesus said, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You're not going to get your reward down here, guys. You're going to get it in heaven. So if you're looking for somebody to do something great for you right here, right now, just forget about it. You're working so you can one day sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, right? And they're always, you know how you know if you're really walking with God is how people treat you. You know, it's really how people treat you. If they're treating you mean and ugly and saying you're stupid and stuff, then that means that you're walking with God. You're doing what God wants you to do, and keep on doing it because God's in control. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 says, but the Lord said to him, go. All right, this is supposed to go to Paul. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Here God blinded Paul, put him someplace, and then he talked to somebody else, and he said, go there and take care of him. He said, but I'm afraid of him. And God said, go. And here's what he says. He's a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. You know, guys, when you're called into the ministry, people are going to remember who you were before you were called into the ministry. And you can't let that stop you. You know that God is working on you, and you know that you're being changed, you know, line upon line and precept upon precept. And you have to keep walking and not be concerned about what people are saying about you. Some people say, I know what you used to be. Well, that's what you used to be. You're not that anymore. And for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. God said, you go ahead and go over there and minister to Paul. I blinded him. Now we're going to unblind him. And then I'm going to show him how much he's going to suffer. Come on. God said, Paul knew from day one that he would suffer. And if you would have read my word, or if you had shepherds that would tell the truth, you would have known that truth up front. Also, I put also in there. But that is no excuse. You now have the opportunity to turn to me with all your hearts and commit all of your ways unto me, the author and finisher of your lives. Children, I love and need you in this hour of great confinement. I am coming upon the scene, and everything that is around about you is going to change overnight. I need you, little ones, to be a light in this dark dispensation of time. There is so much on the horizon that you are not yet ready to see, but it is still there. And when you totally commit to me, I will open up your eyes of understanding, and you shall see me in a brand new light. And the old will all be abolished as you step into the furnace that refines until you are pure gold. Why are we not able to see into the spirit realm? Because we're not totally committed to God. He's not going to take you and let you see what's going on in heavenly places if you're not committed to him, because he knows you're going to go out and be a blabbermouth and turn it around and do something dumb with it. But when you're totally committed to God, then and only then will he take you into heavenly places. God said, this truly is resurrection day for my beloved ones. Come and allow me to resurrect those things that are dead. Allow me to bring new life into your bosoms. Come away, my beloved ones, and commit all of your ways unto me, and just walk by faith. I will redeem you from the snare of the fowler, and you will be just as Paul, and you will go forth undaunted. I am the resurrection, the way, and the life. Follow me. You need to understand one thing about your walk with God. God called you into that walk, knowing how you were going to suffer. He knew of every trial and every test you were going to go through. But he also knew you were strong enough to carry that, or he wouldn't have called you. And, you know, some of us think we're all that and then some, and we can carry any load that anybody can put on us. But whenever God starts testing, we found out, hey, I can't do this thing. And you can't by yourself. But if God anoints you to carry something, you'll be able to carry it. And see, we pick up things and try to carry them that God never told us to carry. Then they start dragging us down, and then they discourage us. And God says to us, let go of that. That baggage is not my baggage. Let go of it. And too many sitting even in this house today, you're carrying things God never told you to carry. And therefore, it's keeping you from being all that God has called you to be. You need to drop all the dead baggage, and you need to walk on and do the things God's called you for to do. In all the years I've been preaching, I know one thing. God never has given me anything that I can't bear. And if you do have things on you can't bear, God will say to you the same as he did to me. I didn't give that to you, so drop it. Are you listening? Come on. You know, if you're like me, you want everybody to be saved. You want everybody to be happy, happy as you are. But not everybody's going to do that. Read the word, you know. Few find the narrow path. What you have to do is just let go. It's hard to learn to let go because you feel like you have done something wrong, that you just weren't strong enough to do the things God's called you to do. Let go of that thing that's tearing you apart, that thing that God never wanted you to carry. This morning, you need to do it because God's calling for total commitment. If you're still going to hang on to those things, you can't commit yourself to God because you're already messed up carrying something he doesn't want you to carry. All right? And see, the body of Christ has sat in the house of God way too long just wanting to be petted and pampered. And we can't do that anymore. I mean, it's wonderful when God touches. It's wonderful when God gives us a word. But it's also more wonderful when we can grow up and God can use us to get out there and do some heavy work for him. God's still saying he can't find the men, you know, he means men and women, to go forth and bring in this harvest that he needs brought in. All right, in the Bible, the word translated as resurrection comes from the Greek word anastasia, which means raising up or standing up again. A person who is resurrected is raised up from death and restored to life as the person he was before. And see, that's you can find that in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 and 13. This is what God is trying to do with the body of Christ. He's trying to resurrect us from the dead, you know, the dead works we were doing, the dead religion that we were doing. There's no more religion. God never was religious. It's spirit calling to spirit. And God's trying to get all the garbage out of us so he can resurrect us up into new life. So let go of anything that you've been holding on to with a guilt complex, thinking, if I'd only done this, if I'd only done that. You know, maybe it would have worked, maybe it wouldn't have, but let go of the ifs and just walk on with God. The ifs are what is what is keeping you from being totally committed to God. Ifs will tear you down. We all know that, right? We've all been there, haven't we? Oh, God, if I'd only done this. Or, oh, God, if I'd only done that. Well, you didn't. Drop it. That's your past. Now move on. In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us how he suffered for Christ. Now, let's just read this. 2 Corinthians 11, 23. Are they servants of Christ? This is Paul speaking. He said, I am a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments. See that? Far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one, 39 lashes. Five times. Jesus had it one time. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night. In hunger and thirst, we don't want to fast, do we? In hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold exposure. And apart from other things, there is a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Paul suffered all that stuff, and all he had to do was just quit following God, and he wouldn't suffer no more. But he went through all that stuff, and he was still concerned about what was going on in the churches. We don't want any problems to come our way. And we definitely don't think about what's going on in the church. We just want to be pampered and do the things we want to do. This is the way the body of Christ is. And this is why God's been working for years now to try to change this body of Christ into true warriors for him. To get out of yourself and get into Christ so that the harvest can be brought in. Are you understanding this? You know, when you have a church, don't worry about the money. Too many churches are built on the fact they want to take in lots of money so the pastor has lots of things. It's not about money at all. It's all about souls. And if you're just looking for money, then you might as well get out because you're not working for God. You're working for yourself. Come on. And when God told me to quit my job, I had a good paying job. Didn't need for nothing. He said, my paycheck will be greater than anything that the world can give you. I haven't gotten a paycheck. You know what he was talking about? Souls. It wasn't about money at all. I got all excited. Boy, I'm going to get a $1,000 check or something. And I thought, one day it dawned on me, it's not about money. His paycheck is souls. We're going to win a lot of people for Christ, and that's the best thing you could ever do for God. Amen. All right, let's look at what Paul, God said, let's look what Paul further stated in 2 Corinthians 11:30. Paul said, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father, the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Ardius was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. Paul was saying he was scared to death, so he ran for his life. They stuck him in a basket and lowered him over the wall. That was his weakness. He did not want to be captured and tormented again. So if you have a weakness, don't let it kill you. You know, just be like Paul and say, well, you know, I had to get out of that situation and go on with your life. Look how many times David did that. He even pretended he was crazy one time just to get out of a situation. You know? Now, I'm not saying do all this stuff, but I'm just saying this is the things that bind you up or bind the body of Christ up. Look how I messed up, God. I was afraid or whatever. And then you stay in that hole. Don't stay there. Keep on moving. All right, 1 Corinthians 9:19 says, even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Religious and non-religious, meticulous, moralist, loose living, immoralists. The defeated, the demoralized, whoever. Paul says, I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ by I entered their world. See that? And try to experience things from their point of view. I become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. Paul is saying that God placed him in situations with people. Let's just say drugs, because that's what's prevalent right now. So he could learn exactly what makes a drug person tick. And as I read this, I said, God, you did that to me. Because I thought, why would you ever place me in this situation 3 or 4 times? And it was so I could understand where these people are coming from. Unless you get involved in them, you don't understand them. Are you understanding this? If God would have never had me bring a drug person in my home, I would have never understood why people are addicts, and I wouldn't want anything to do with an addict because they're really messed up. And I'm not making fun of them. They're just messed up, and I thank God every day I don't walk in their shoes. But because God got me involved with addicts, because he knew that's what we were going to have to deal with, then I understand why a person does what they do. I understand the addiction that they can't get free from unless they're delivered or get help, you know, from whatever means there is. So if God is placing you in a... I didn't do drugs. I was just around a whole lot of drug people. And I'm tell you right now, I just wish God would abolish drugs. Because their life is hell on earth. And their loved ones leave them because they don't understand them. And they don't want to stick in there for the long haul and help them through their addiction. Believe me, I know how hard it is to stick in there for the long haul. I have my own family members who are on drugs, and I've been in there with them, and sometimes you go to your room and you sit down and cry, God, I can't deal with this no more. They start stealing things from you, and they start lying to you, you know, and you don't even, they don't even know what the real world is anymore. But somebody has to be strong enough to stick in there and help them through their mess. Don't do it if God's not telling you to do it. Because I'm going to tell you, it's one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. I was never around perversion, and God put me around perverted people. And, you know, I was, some of you are really, you know, we're, you come from the woods, or, you know, you lived in the country, and you didn't know the things that were going on, and you're just a little poor, little innocent thing out there, and then all of a sudden God puts you in the midst of perverted people, and you think, oh, my, my, where'd all this come from? But God knew I was going to deal with perversion, so he put me in the midst of perversion so I could really see it from the root up. So what is God placing you into? If you're in a situation, maybe it's because that's the type of people God's going to send your way so you can minister to them. But one thing you have to remember, if God does that, he told me, he said, don't ever go down to their level. Bring them up to your level. Too many people let a drug addict pull them down to their level to become a drug addict. Don't do that. Stay firm in Christ. He will give you the strength. He will cover you, and you don't have to go into the mess that they're in. Are you understanding? Is this good for you this morning? All right. All right, Paul said, I did all this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. And I'm going to tell you some things God put you in on, you don't want to be in on, right? You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs. One wins. So he's saying run to win, Paul is. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. That's what your walk's all about. I don't know about you. But this is still Paul speaking. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. You know, this is one thing, guys, you have to be careful of. That, you know, you're out of the mess, but then the person you're dealing with gets out of the mess, and then you're caught in the mess, and you're lost, and they're not. This is why God said don't let them bring you down to their level. You bring them up to your level, and so that both of you can be one day sitting in heavenly places. It's hard as a minister to try to deal with all these people that are coming into the house of God messed up. You'll find it's very, very hard because you just don't have one, you'll have a multitude. But I'm believing what God said, that he's just going to bring an anointing that's just going to rip all those demons out of people and set them free in the wink of an eye. But somebody has to stay strong and be able to open the doors for God to do that. Now, are you one of those? Are you one of those that's so committed to God that you can stay strong and be there and be able to minister to those he sends your way? 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul says, if I proclaim the message, it's not to get something out of it for myself. I'm compelled to do it and doomed if I don't. So if you stuck up your hand and said, here am I, at that point you're compelled then to follow Christ and to be his servant and let him work through you. You know, a lot of you people, you know, God's bringing in new faces. He's going to be giving mantles from one person to another person. And you just don't know if you might be the next one in line to carry a mantle. And if you are, you don't know how hard or how heavy that mantle might be. You don't know how much of an anointing you're going to need to carry the mantles that God's putting out there right now. Are you really ready to serve God with all of your heart? Are you really ready to commit your ways to the Father? You know, we have a deliverance ministry. The deliverance ministry is hard. It's not easy. And you have to be totally and completely committed to God in order to have a good deliverance minister. You yourself cannot be in any type of sin. Because if you're in any type of sin, the devil's in you, or telling those devils in another person, you don't have to leave, just sit still. They'll give up pretty soon. And then that person will walk away still bound. And so if you're going to say, I'll be on the deliverance team, well, get in for some fighting then, because you're going to be fought. Because the devil doesn't like you treading on his territory. And I have great respect for anybody in the church who really committed herself and are on the deliverance team, because I know what it takes to be on a deliverance team. And it does take total commitment, and it takes you walking in holiness at all times. All right, we do a lot of deliverances and a lot of Skype. And we have good people write back and say, you know, I'm so glad I got in contact with you, because it became free. Now, guys, if you're going to get out there and work for God, you have to do deliverance. That's the first thing Jesus did, was do deliverance. Deliverance is not taboo. Deliverance is real. People are bound up. The more we did deliverance, the more I thought, what's left of us? You know, we're just a shell that these little demons that are in there, you know, taking up space they shouldn't have. And then what we have to do is get those things out of us and let the Holy Spirit fill that void, that bit. All we are is full of the Holy Spirit, like Jesus was. And then I don't care where you walk, what you do, people are going to be delivered just by being around about you. So Paul was committed to his calling to the point of losing his life. How about you? Are you committed to the point of losing your life? You don't care if you get killed or not. You don't care what it takes. You just want to be committed to God and help others to see them be set free. I was thinking about this morning, and I thought, when I first committed I always went to church, but then I became born again in 77, and that's a whole different story, isn't it? You can go to church all your life and still go to hell. But when you come born again and you learn that God speaks to you, and all these gifts are flowing in you and all this kind of, it's a whole different life. And I was thinking, how many people truly, truly are filled with the Spirit of God, and how many are truly committed to their walk with God? Are you going to go all the way? Mary, you're going to go all the way? You're going to quit in the middle? Things are rough right now, and they're not going to get better. Believe me, I think, well, there's nothing else left to see. And lo and behold, there's something else to see in there. Nothing else could possibly happen to my life, but lo and behold, it does. So I want you really to think about this right now before I have the altar call. Do you really want to become totally and completely committed to God? And I'm going to tell you another thing. If you're married, you commit yourself to God. That doesn't mean your husband has to, or your wife. God is calling you. He's not calling your family. I know it's because that's what he told me. He's, I called you. I didn't call your husband or your kids. I called you. You are the one I'm dealing with, not them. So you have to think of that too. You can't say, well, my wife wouldn't do, or my husband wouldn't do, or, you know, my kids would do. No. When you stand before God, is what did you do? He called you. You might be the one to save your family. You don't know. This God wanted you to know this morning, because you're going to be facing some difficult times. And if you're not totally and completely committed to God, you're not going to make it. So how many of you in here tonight that you said you wanted to follow God, you wanted to be used by God, you got all excited about being a prophet or something, but what are you going to do when all hell hits your front door? Are you going to cave in? Or are you going to stand strong? God says he will give you a forehead of flint and a backbone of steel. He's told me, his daughter, I've given you a forehead of flint and a backbone of steel. No devil in hell can touch you as long as you stand. Didn't say he couldn't come around and harass me. He just couldn't kill me. So how many of you are all ready to say, God, I don't care how I am harassed, I'm ready to sell myself out to you totally and completely, 100%, so you can use me to bring in this harvest? You might not ever get a penny. All you ever do is save souls. What are you in it? I'm hearing God say, what are you in this for, the long haul or the short vacation? So the altar's open for those who really want to be totally, completely committed to God.